You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on A Better Way to Live. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on A Better Way to Live, Og Mandino's own personal story of success, featuring 17 Rules to Live by Og Mandino. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. How do you get the most benefit from all 17 rules to live by? Easy. Just remember that all of us have a pretty large collection of bad habits that weaken our chance to succeed in life. Each of the rules you will learn will help you to get rid of a bad habit by replacing it with a good one. That's your key to a better life. The plan is simple, but it's all up to you. Persist, give it a fair chance, and soon you will discover that many of your old bad habits that have been holding you back are gradually being replaced by good habits, life-changing habits. What to do then? Share what you have learned, just as I have shared myself and my life with you. Only then will you realize what success and a better way to live truly means. End quote. That is Og Mandino from A Better Way to Live. Og Mandino was the most popular inspirational writer of his era, essentially the 70s and 80s. At the time he published this book, his 14 books had sold 25 million copies in 18 languages. But Og wasn't always Mr. Inspiring. In fact, at one point, he was a 35-year-old drunk derelict contemplating using his last 20 bucks to buy a gun to kill himself. In this book, he shares his personal story of redemption and the 17 rules he followed to create a better way to live. He's an amazing writer. Kind of reminds me of Paulo Coelho in his simple, unpretentious, yet captivating style. And this little book brought me to inspired tears several times. It's packed with wisdom. I'm excited to share some of my favorite big ideas, so let's jump straight in. We'll start with a quick look at those 17 rules to live by, which is our first big idea, the 17 rules to live by. Rule number one, count your blessings. Two, today and every day, deliver more than you are getting paid to do. Rule number three, whenever you make a mistake or get knocked down by life, don't look back at it too long. Number four, always reward your long hours of labor and toil in the very best way, surrounded by your family. Rule number five, build this day on a foundation of pleasant thoughts. Rule number six, let your actions always speak for you, but be forever on guard against the terrible traps of false pride and conceit that can halt your progress. Rule number seven, each day is a special gift from God, and while life may not always be fair, you must never allow the pains, hurdles, and handicaps of the moment to poison your attitude and plans for yourself and your future. Rule number eight, never again clutter your days or nights with so many menial and unimportant things that you have no time to accept a real challenge when it comes along. Rule number nine, live this day as if it will be your last. Rule number 10, beginning today, treat everyone you meet, friend or foe, loved one or stranger, as if they were going to be dead at midnight. Rule number 11, laugh at yourself and at life. Rule number 12, never neglect the little things. Rule number 13, welcome every morning with a smile. Rule number 14, you will achieve your grand dream a day at a time, so set goals for each day, not long and difficult projects, but chores that will take you step by step toward your rainbow. Rule number 15, never allow anyone to rain on your parade, and thus cast a pall of gloom and defeat on your entire day. Rule number 16, search for the seed of good in every adversity. And finally, rule number 17, realize that true happiness lies within you. There you go. 17 rules to live by. Og walks us through each of those rules in super short, inspiring little chapters. Solid stuff. Now, let's take a quick peek at a few of my favorites. Next big idea, putting foundations under our air castles. Quote, remember Henry David Thoreau's admonition in his great classic, Walden? He told us that if we have built castles in the air, our work need not be lost, for that is where they should be. Then he urged us to put foundations under them. I'm going to share with you some powerful tools you can use, not only to construct your castles, but also to erect permanent substructures. You're about to learn how to turn many of your dreams into reality, but you must listen with an open heart and then be prepared to act. All the noble thoughts, magnificent plans, and secrets of achievement in the world are of little value unless and until they are put into action. Our worth is always determined by our deeds, not by our good intentions, however noble. End quote. Ideals, vision, aspirations. They are essential and they are awesome. And at the end of the day, as Og tells us, our worth to ourselves and others is always, but only always, determined by our deeds, by what we do, not by our good intentions. This is very exciting news. We have more control over our behavior than our thoughts and emotions. We just need to discipline ourselves to consistently do that which we know is best for us. So, let's put some solid foundations under those air castles. Next big idea, rule number one, count your blessings. Quote, count your blessings. Once you realize how valuable you are and how much you have going for you, the smiles will return, the sun will break out, the music will play, and you will finally be able to move forward toward the life that God intended for you with grace, strength, and confidence. End quote. Gratitude. We now know the scientific reality of what all great teachers tell us. Count your blessings. As Robert Emmons, the world's leading researcher on the science of gratitude, tells us in his great book, Thanks, see those notes, keeping track of just five things you're grateful for once a week has been proven to boost our happiness by as much as 25%. That always blows me away. Og has a great way to help us see just how valuable our lives are. He asks us a series of questions like these, quote, what's your freedom worth to you? How about those you love and who love you? Your eyes? Would you take $1 million for your eyes? How about your hands or your feet? $5 million? $10 million? You're really quite a precious specimen, aren't you? If it came to a showdown, you probably wouldn't trade what you have right now for all the gold in Fort Knox, would you? And with so much going for you, tell me, please, why you're walking around looking sad, beat, defeated, and rejected. Why? No more. There's a better way to live for you, and it begins today. End quote. Do the math on that. How much are your eyes worth to you? Would you trade them for $1 million? Seriously, would you? How about your hands and feet? $5 million? $10 million? What about that heart of yours? $50 million? Our lives are extraordinarily precious. Let's discipline ourselves to never forget that. Here's to counting our blessings every day, beginning today. Next big idea, going the extra mile. Quote, there is an answer, a solution, a rule, and I'll wager that it has never failed for those who have truly applied it. When it comes to improving the career side of your life, the greatest secret of success was delivered to us from a mountaintop nearly 2,000 years ago when Jesus told us that if we were compelled to go a mile with someone, we should always go two, the extra mile. If you resolve beginning tomorrow to put out more on your job than you're getting paid to do, miracles will begin to happen in your life. Whatever you are doing for a living, whether you're selling products, painting houses, manning computers, or sweeping floors, if each day you do more than you're getting paid for, your life's pattern will soon change for the better. End quote. You want to see miracles in your life? Do your best. Go the extra mile every single day. That's rule number two. Let's be direct for a moment, shall we? Have you ever really done your best? I mean, really, truly given your absolute best to your life for more than a fleeting moment or day or even week? Imagine your life when you live from that place moment to moment to moment. That's the heart of what we talk about in these notes again and again and again. Arete, expressing the highest version of yourself, where there's no gap between what you're capable of being and doing and what you're actually being and doing. Going the extra mile, doing our best. Here's another way to look at it via Matthew Kelly. See the notes on the rhythm of life plus perfectly yourself. He tells us to imagine an athlete who wants to win an Olympic gold medal. Do they ask themselves, what's the least I can do to get the gold? Of course not. That's absurd. They ask, what's the most I can do to give myself the best shot at winning? And then they go do it. What do you ask yourself? Here's to going the extra mile, doing more than we're expected and or paid to do. Today, every day. P.S. A quote. Andrew Carnegie said that there were two types of people who never achieve very much in their lifetime. One is the person who won't do what he or she is told to do. And the other is the person who does no more than he or she is told to do. And when Walter Chrysler was asked what his plant needed most, he replied, 10 good men who can't hear the whistle blow or read the time on the face of the clock, end quote. P.P.S., here's a prayer. God, grant that I may be deaf to the sound of the whistle blowing and blind to the face of the clock as I crush it, doing my best, going the extra mile, serving profoundly, and astonishing those I am blessed to have the opportunity to serve with my commitment to awesome. Amen. There you go. Next big idea, dead at midnight. Quote, beginning today, treat everyone you meet, friend or foe, loved one or stranger, as if they were going to be dead at midnight. Extend to each person, no matter how trivial the contact, all the care and kindness and understanding and love that you can muster, and do it with no thought of any reward. Your life will never be the same again. End quote. Imagine the next person you will meet today. Imagine that they will be gone at midnight tonight. This is their last day on earth, and you are one of the last people with whom they will interact. How will you treat them? As Og says, you know how, with more consideration and care and tenderness and love than you ever have before. That is precisely how we want to treat everyone, today, tomorrow, and the day after that. P.S. Those are high ideals floating as castles in the sky, aren't they? Yep. Now it's time to build our foundations under them via disciplined action. P.P.S. Another way to get yourself in impeccable action? Imagine this is your last day too. All right, next big idea. Lady Liberty's hairdo. Quote, you are a special creation of God. Never allow anything that originates with you in deeds or materials or effort or kindness to be less than your best. Only the failures and the mediocrities neglect the little things. A potent example of this simple but powerful truth, this enduring rule of life, stands high above Liberty Island in New York Harbor. Should you ever be in New York City with an extra few hours to enjoy, take one of the several helicopter cruises that depart from the foot of East 34th Street to the East River. When you finally approach the lovely Statue of Liberty, standing proudly in the harbor, pay special attention. Lady Liberty's steel frame supported copper body stands 305 feet above sea level. As your helicopter circles closer, look down at the top of Lady Liberty's head and note how every strand of hair has been painstakingly formed in careful and minute detail, just as is every other area of her gown and body. That delicate metallic hair on the top of her head undoubtedly required many additional weeks at Auguste Bertholdi's shop in Paris, weeks that the great sculptor could have saved. Because so far as he knew, no one would ever see the top of Liberty's head. This statue was dedicated on October 28, 1886 by President Grover Cleveland. There were no airplanes in 1886. The Wright brothers would not even get their first primitive contraption off the ground at Kitty Hawk until 17 years later. Bartholdi was well aware that only a few brave seagulls would probably ever look down on the statue from above, and certainly no one would ever know if the strands of hair had not been meticulously shaped and polished. And yet, the master artisan took no shortcuts. Every strand of hair, every curl is in place. End quote. What an awesome story. It's 1886. Grover Cleveland is president. France gifts the U.S. the Statue of Liberty. Planes don't exist. No one will ever see the top of her head. But Auguste Bartholdi and his team of craftsmen take no shortcuts, making sure the lady has an impeccable hairstyle. That's amazing. Reminds me of another craftsman, Steve Jobs, whose engineers meticulously designed and signed the inside of their machines, something no one would see. How about you? You attending to the little things? What's a little thing you can do a little better today? Keep that in mind, and as you do that, think of this next big idea. Strikeout to home run ratio, 2-1. Quote, remember that even the most successful lives contain chapters of failure, just as any good novel does. But how the book ends depends on us. We are the authors of our years, and our failures and defeats are only steps to something better. End quote. When's the last time you read a great book or watched a great movie without any challenges? Right. Not going to happen. The hero's journey requires a hero, and that hero must battle his or her dragons in pursuit of her ultimate potential. That always involves rough spots, times of failure, the dark night when we want to give up. Period. No getting around that. The question isn't whether or not we experience a chapter or three of the hard times. We better if we're committed to actualizing. The question is how the story ends, and we're always the authors of that part of the story. Og tells us a great story to remind us that failure is required for success. It's 1974. Hank Aaron is in pursuit of Babe Ruth's all-time home run record. And I was just born. So Og calls the Atlanta Braves and asks a young staffer how many strikeouts Hank has. Strikeouts? The young man asks. Yeah, says Og. I know Hank has 710 homers, but how many strikeouts does he have? After a few minutes of researching, the young man comes back on the line and delivers the report. As of last night, Hank has 1,262 strikeouts, 710 homers, 1,262 strikeouts. Our hero, Hank Aaron, has struck out nearly twice the number of times he's hit homers, and he's the best ever. You can't hit home runs without strikeouts. We can't have success without failure. As Alan Watts would say, one goes with the other. And as IBM founder Thomas Watson advises, would you like me to give you a formula for success? It's quite simple, really. Double your rate of failure. Here's to embracing the exhilarating hero's journey that is our lives as we embrace a better way to live. There you go. Og Mandino's A Better Way to Live. If you liked this, I think you'll also enjoy our notes on The Greatest Salesman in the World, Self-Help, and As a Man Thinketh. Now let's have fun checking out some quotes from the sidebar. Og tells us, choice. The key is choice. You have options. You need not spend your life wallowing in failure, ignorance, grief, poverty, shame, and self-pity. There is a better way to live. Henry David Thoreau tells us, I learned this, at least, by my experiment, that if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with success unexpected in common hours. Back to Og, who tells us, it's good to have money and the things that money can buy, but it's good, too, to check up once in a while and make sure you haven't lost the things that money can't buy. He tells us, surprise everyone, change your work habits, go the extra mile. Above all, greet the morning with a smile. Now, how do you suppose you would treat everyone you meet today if you knew that they would be gone forever at day's end. You know how, with more consideration and care and tenderness and love than you ever have before. Og tells us, setting goals is easy. As with New Year's resolutions, any of us can jot down long lists of things we hope to accomplish in the future. But then, we continue to live exactly as we have in the past. And finally, he tells us, yet I know so well from experience that in the final showdown, your future is strictly up to you. No book, no lecture or rabbi, and no motivational tape can do anything toward altering the way you live unless you are determined to pay the price in time and effort and sacrifice and pain. The choice is yours, and yours alone. There you go, 17 rules from A Better Way to Live. I hope you enjoyed. What's the idea you're going to bring into your life starting today? Get on that. Have fun. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.